So we're listening to Mark Hunter. I'm going to attempt to do an introduction.
Go ahead.
Mark Hunter is one of my colleagues in the space. He is an amazing person. Y'all should go right over to the Sales Hunter, which is his website. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's a coach. He's a consultant. He's the author of High Profit Prospecting, one of the books that's out there. Go to Amazon. It's got a gazillion reviews. It's a fabulous book. He's also the co-founder of a conference called Outbound with three of his compatriots, who you may also know. And it's a third year now, right, Mark? It's in its third year.
Coming up the tail end of April. Yeah.
Tail end of April. It's grown leaps and bounds. They're expecting over 1,000 people this year. And, you know, that's in with Jeb Blunt, with Anthony Iannarino. I don't know Mike. What's his last name?
Mike Weinberg. He's a great guy. He is out of St. Louis. Don't hold that against him. He doesn't like the Rams anymore because they did move from St. Louis.
They moved back to my hometown.
Yeah, they did. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great. So he's with us today to talk about prospecting. And as I said, he is an expert in this area. He's very passionate about it. And so what I'd like to do, Mark, is start off by, you know, you and I spoke probably a couple of years ago, I think when, 2016, you were one of my first podcast guests.
Wow.
What's changed or not? You know, you're running all over the world. So what's new in prospecting? So my folks who are listening to this can get some tidbits and some, you know, knowledge from you as to what's changed.
You know, it's amazing how everything goes in a circle. I think in 2016, everybody was getting enamored with a shiny object called social media, social selling. Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting is we've come full circle that the telephone is really having a really strong resurgence because people know, and this is something I'm going to do a real shout out for millennials. Millennials have done a really good job of waking us all up. That really what it comes down to is authenticity and transparency. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about it, a millennial will not go to work for a company unless the management demonstrates authenticity and transparency. And you're not going to get that by way of social media. You're going to get that by way of a conversation. So I think what we're doing is we're coming right back to this human to human interaction, which is what people crave because there's so much stuff out there. Confusing people. And it's that ability to create a relationship. I think that has that changed? No. It's just kind of elevated itself to a higher level. Because I think the sales process has gone through just a circular motion over the last 100 years. The only thing that changes is the mediums with which people use. That's it. It's really the same thing. It's just the mediums we use.
And we do have a lot of nice ways to learn more about our prospect in a setting where we can be more authentic. I mean, it's really helping us understand where they're coming from, what their day in the life is like, what kinds of jobs are frustrating to them in their workday or challenges they're experiencing. And I think that has been a blessing for the internet is having this information, not always accurate, but at least we have an understanding where to start the conversation and when to come into the conversation that we didn't have in the olden days, you know, when we were going to the library and looking in research books to try to figure out what our prospects and our companies were doing. So I love
you hit on something very key there because people say cold calling's dead. Well, cold calling isn't dead because there are some industries that it very much works very cost effectively. But if you think about it, we've moved to an era of really informed calling because, I mean, I can Google you and find out all kinds of information about you.
Yes.
You can Google me, find out all kinds. The ability to know, the ability to now have an informed call has never, this is why this is going to rub some people the wrong way. I actually think it's easier today to prospect than it's ever been. This guy's a sick child. This guy is sick. But I really do because there is so much information out there and there's so much noise. So people are craving for give me the truth. Give me a real authentic relationship. Okay. And B, there's so much information out there that I can't help but stumble across things that I might be able to help you with. Mm-hmm. So this is where I say, I admit I'm a sales junkie. And yes, Hunter is my real last name. People always ask me, oh, you're called the sales hunter.
What had a name change.
I said, no, it's my real last name. And, I've never been more bullish on sales mm-hmm. as I am today. And I know there's a lot of people that sends chills down their spine.
Yeah.
But I truly do believe, because people are craving for authenticity, transparency, like I said before, and the ability to connect with people to create trust and confidence. Mm-hmm. And when you do that all on a foundation of integrity, boom, you're going to be successful. And the customer is going to be successful.
You know, that's a great point. And I'm wondering what you think about all of these automated follow-up systems and their place in the prospecting area of the pipeline. Do you feel that they're helping or hindering us?
Well, I think, unfortunately, they do quite a bit of damage. Now, they're very, very beneficial. I'm not gonna pull them. But you got to know how to use them. I mean, I can give somebody a power saw, and in 10 seconds, they can cut their fingers off. Or I can give them a power saw and then cut some magnificent pieces of wood. It's knowing mm-hmm. how to use the tool right. And I think that's the problem. So many people buy the tool and try to force it into a solution, and it doesn't work. Right. You got to know what's my challenge and find the right tool to put in there. But here's the other piece, though. I've got nothing wrong with tools that helps automate, helps make me more efficient. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, and I had this, my phone rang about an hour ago. And we've all been trained to let it roll to voicemail. But I thought it might be you. So I picked it up. And there was this 5-second pause. Well, you know what it was? It was because it was being routed to a live person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was a robo sales call. Excuse me.
Right.
I mean, that turns me off. So we wonder why society has this disdain towards the sales community. Well, unfortunately, we have probably earned those stripes. I'm on a mission, I'm on a mission to try to correct that. Because mm-hmm. I think sales is absolutely a very noble profession. Because my definition of a salesperson is the definition of a leader, to help you see and achieve what you didn't think was possible. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's cool. That trips yes. my trigger. That excites me.
We change lives.
We change lives. And I think once you get to that thinking from a sales perspective, and this is, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to go on a rant here.
Go ahead.
So many people get so, well, I'd be successful in sales if I had something decent to sell. Or I'd be decent in sales if we just lowered our price. Shut up. You know, because here's what I contend. I'm sorry, I'm getting warmed up here. It's not what we sell. And this is what's going to, this group is going to really threaten. It's not even how we sell. It's why we sell.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we sell? Because I want to be focused on the outcomes. I want to be focused on the outcomes I'm going to help you achieve. That's what I'm focused on. As long as I'm zeroed in on that, helping you see and achieve something that you didn't think was possible, man, that trips my trigger. That excites me. I want to get up in the morning. I want to mm-hmm. go. I want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, everyone knows this. I have a note on my computer that every morning I look at it. It says, how can I add more value?
Ooh, I love it. I love it.
And that's my daily mantra.
Right. Right.
So when you approach sales that way, that you're adding, that you're there to add value. You're not bugging
yeah.
people. You're not,
no.
you know, being a pest. You're adding value, which means your correspondence, your conversation is all value-driven conversation. It's not about
yeah.
you. It's about them.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting about that? The high-performing salesperson is like that, not just with salespeople, but with the barista they meet, with the wait staff at the restaurant, with everybody. You know, if you really stop thinking about that, the high-performing salesperson is bringing value to every conversation. every interaction they have all the time. And to me, again, that's, sales is not a job. It's not even a profession. It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're bringing value. What are you doing? You are bringing value. You're helping people. That's cool. That's neat.
So let's focus a bit on high profit prospecting. That's yeah. one of the books that we all, at least I, have sitting on my desk. And, you know, there's reasons for that. I'm curious, it's been out for a little bit now. What are the top two or three things in that book that people are like come up to you and want to give you the biggest hug that you solved that problem for them? What do you hear most often about that book?
Well, yeah, there are several. And one of the big things is they say, you know, thank you for telling me, don't start what you can't finish. It's one of the big pieces I talk about in the book. Don't start what you can't finish. So many people are just fill up this pipeline, just fill up this pipeline. And all you wind up with is a sewer pipe. And I say, no, no. Your objective is to make it very, very simple. Keep it simple. I think the other thing that people come up to me and say thank you is the fact that you demystify sales. You work with a lot of engineers and so forth, incredibly smart, brilliant people. I made the upper half of my class possible. We'll just leave it at that, okay? So I am not kidding. So I very much have to take the approach to sales that I want to keep it as simple as possible. And the whole thing is by keeping it as simple as possible, I'm able to just have a conversation, because that's ultimately what sales is. It's a conversation, just like what we are having today. So that's probably the second piece. The third piece, and it has rubbed a few of my friends the wrong way, and that is social media has to earn its way. It's not about just, oh, let's go spend 3-4 hours a day on social media and people will beat a door to my path. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I say social media has to earn its way, and it may be as little as 10, 15 minutes a day. That's it. That's it. I mean, for as big a following as I have, I've got over 300,000 followers on LinkedIn alone. I spend less than 30 minutes a day on social media, period. And maybe only 2 minutes, maybe 5 minutes of it is during the day. The rest of it is very, very early in the morning or in the evening. But when I see salespeople spending all day on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram, I go, oh, please. Because you can't take clicks and likes to the bank.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to go down another rant. I love meeting with salespeople, and especially solopreneurs. I'm running into a lot of solopreneurs, and I'll be coaching them, I say, let me see your goals. And they all have these social media goals, how many connections they want to have, how many followers they want to have. And I go, oh, please, you're killing me. You're killing me. Wow. Wow. And they place more focus on that than they do the number of phone calls. Or what I like to say, I mean, the number one metric we all need to have is CFT, customer-facing time. Mm-hmm. What is your customer-facing time every day? And if that's not on an upward trend, year in, year out, something is wrong.
Indeed. And I think that these meaningful conversations are the ones that allow us to advance prospects into the pipeline towards a sales qualified opportunity, in my case, which is where I stop. But you know, a lot of that prep work, I like social media from the standpoint of prep work, of research.
Right. That's fine. That's great. It's wonderful.
And
right.
I think it has its place there. But like anything, it's a tool in your toolkit. Right. As a sales executive, we have a number of different tools that are at our disposal in order to be able to have the most meaningful conversation we can possibly have with someone who is in need of what we sell.
Wow. That's well said. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So to that I use whatever I can, right? We use whatever we can to get to that point.
Right. Right. Hey, here's a question I love to ask salespeople. Does making sales calls jazz you, or do they drain you? I love asking salespeople that question.
And what is the normal response to that? I'm really curious.
I get about 20% of the time people say it jazzes them. Yeah. But about 80% of the time they look at me, they go, what? And they go, But you know what's funny though? That's how you can tell who's passionate about sales. That, because I mean, if making a sales call jazzes you, you know, and I'm not saying every call goes well, because believe me, we all have calls that go sideways, because we all have calls we think we're calling a prospect and know they're a suspect. I mean, they are a suspect at best, you know. But one of the things I talk about in my book, and I talk a lot about it whenever I'm keynoting in front of a group, is a lead. Oh, I got all these leads. That means they have a heartbeat. And I always love to share the example that I've got a dog, and my dog has got a heartbeat, but my dog is never going to buy anything from me. You know, you've got to qualify the lead, you know, and they're a suspect until they become a prospect. They have to earn the right to become a prospect. Because, wow, so many salespeople keep garbage in their pipelines just to keep their boss happy. Well, my boss is going to yell at me if I don't have enough in my pipeline. Can I line the bosses up right now and start slapping them?
I was going to say that to me is the big, I mean, I'm kind of sad that I'm retiring, but I'm happy I'm retiring. But if I had more time, I would be spending most of my time educating sales managers and educating people who manage the sales executives, because they are so misinformed.
So bad, because they measure things that are easy to measure.
Right.
Just because you can measure it doesn't mean it's worth measuring.
Doesn't make it meaningful. Right.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Painful. Painful.
It is painful. It's very painful. And getting the constant pushback. I was talking to someone just the other day about this topic, and he's like, Mary Lou, give it up. It's a monumental task to try to convince and re-educate and turn this big ship around. I'm like, well, then why? No, we cannot give up. We've got to continue on. But yeah, it's pretty daunting. And a lot of that, like we talked before we started about Howard and University of Texas, Dallas, they have a sales program. And that's what we need more of, is that education of what metrics matter and what's meaningful and how this all fits together. It's not, you know, we use the term spray and pray, especially in prospecting. We know that's not right, but there's still a lot of that going on. Do you agree?
Right. But go back 25 years ago, and it was true of the game that if I could make 100 dial, I could have X number of conversations. Now, I'm not going to discount that today. But
right.
there's
still a waterfall. I agree.
There's still a huge. But back then, that was the only measurement. But we can do so much better. And I think sales managers, because what are sales managers doing? All they're trying to do is keep themselves out of trouble by serving up the ladder. I mean, this goes back to the birth of CRM systems. Why were CRM systems created? They were created because the CFO wanted to find a way to measure what's going on in sales. You know, CRM systems were not created because salespeople woke up and said, let me have every moment of my day be measured for other people. Wrong again. And still to this day, when I see CRM systems and I go in and I work with sales teams on organizations on CRM analysis and implementing, it's amazing. The finance department, you know, the CFO or some representative from the CFO's office has a seat at the table because they want to have their fingers in on what they're going to measure.
Right. And it's very command and control.
But this comes back to the whole thing that, you know, sales is an emotional game. Sales is an you can have two people, give them the exact same calls, make the exact same, script. Okay, I hate scripts, but anyway. And one can be incredibly successful because they have the right mindset, and the other will be a dismal failure all because of the mindset. It's your mental state. I mean, sales is a mental game. And that's why we've all seen people that you go, I can't believe how successful they are. But they just have that mindset. And others that you go, man, you're incredible. I mean, you and I both know incredibly brilliant people that are dismal failures in sales. Because they overanalyze. They overanalyze. Right. They want to dissect everything. It's like, no. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going way down a tangent.
You definitely don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But you're right. I mean, there is, I believe in a three-prong approach to sales. You know, skill set is obviously one that we develop over time. Mm-hmm. And then there's the process itself, the mechanics of it, the workflows. And then the one you just brought up, which is really important, which is very difficult to quantify, is mindset. I mean, it's just... Yeah. How do you teach mindset to someone?
Yeah. Well, and our mindset is shaped by our historical behavior and the environment with which we come from. I mean, I kind of equate it to an example I'm using more and more when I speak, is that we all occupy a chair, and many of us just can't get out of our chair because, no, I can't stand up. 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 Because for some reason we've told ourselves we can't stand up. No, I can't say that. I can't ask that. I'm amazed at the number of salespeople who I work with who struggle in sales because they just won't make the requisite number of follow-up phone calls.
Man, pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Sales is not hard when you can follow everything Mary Lou Tyler says.
Well, process wise, I don't profess to know the whole inner workings of the brain. Although I do have a process for mindset that I use, which was borrowed from somebody along the way of 30 years of doing this. But it talks about, we start with desire, and then from there, we need to move to repetition. Because from there, then we do what Anthony talks about, which is the discipline of sales.
Right.
And then from there, we get into this kind of rhythm and routine. And then and only then can we move to habit, which is what prospecting, the mindset of a prospector, as you know, we're very habit-based. Mm-hmm. More so than most of the sales roles, I would say, because of the fact that we're typically working with a lot more records, trying to get to that first conversation where I work. And so that is the ladder. And I actually score my people when we're going through the ramp of putting in an outbound system. And we score on that. And that's all I know about mindset. I try to make it into a process so that I can see relative position of mindset where people are. Mm-hmm. And that helps me then say, great, you're still trying to get repetition down. This is what we need to do from a workflow perspective with you so that you can get to the point where you're having these skillful conversations. We're not even there yet. We're just trying to get you to do the daily workflow.
Yeah.
And you are right in the thick of all that. So I'm sure you have that magic wand of what to do with mindset more so than I would, because I'm trying to get everything into a quantified process. Something that we can actually put on a piece of paper.
I think the three things when it comes to the mindset, first of all, you have to be disciplined with yourself. You have to be able to have the hard conversation with yourself. So you're disciplined yourself. Mm-hmm. Two, the discipline has to lead to an art of follow through.
Follow through. I love that.
And three, you cannot allow past activity to haunt future expectations. You know, there's that old line it's on every financial services commercial you see. Past performance or past results are no indication of future performance.
Right.
You can't allow that phone call that just went south to upset you for your next five calls you're going to make. You can't mm-hmm. allow that prospect. You can't, you know, you have to just shut it out, shut it down, move on. But that comes back to this first thing of discipline. If you're not disciplined, you know, anybody who's run a marathon has gone through at least, I mean, unless you're really weird, has gone through at least one level of training where they go, I can't go on. I can't mm-hmm. go on. But without the discipline of being focused, saying I can do it, that's the only reason they continue and they play through that injury or not injury, but this is painful. This is difficult. This is how am I going to rehab from this? How am I going to work through this to be able to run a marathon?
Yeah.
You know, sales is not a sprint. Sales is a marathon.
Most definitely.
Anybody can be successful for a day or two. You know, I always say this. I've seen plenty of salespeople be successful for a quarter. That's it. After that, sorry, they're done.
Well, my boss used to always say, what have you done for me lately, Mary Lou?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
You just closed this deal. What have you done for me lately? So it was a constant for me. So let's wrap this up by talking about the Outbound conference. We're into the third year now, and about 1,000 people, you're saying, or more are coming. What should people know about that event in case they want to catch it?
Well, yeah, they need to. Outboundconference.com is the website. It's a very unique conference. It's totally pitch free. There's no selling from the platform. None. Zero. It's 100% content driven. So that's a huge piece. And it's all around prospecting, pipeline, productivity. That's it. Prospecting, pipeline, productivity. And so it's Anthony, Mike Weinberg, Jeb Blunt, myself. This year we've got Victor Antonio coming. We've got Waldo Waldman coming, Bob Berg coming, Jeffrey Gittimer coming, Colin Francis coming, Andrea Waltz. That's just on the main stage. Then we have another day of just breakout sessions. So it's, you know, if you buy, you can buy the 2-day ticket for main stage. You can buy the 3-day ticket, which includes the breakout day, which is 23 breakout sessions. All be videotaped.
Wow.
So you can get the recordings to those. You can get the video and the audio. Or you can buy the VIP package, which actually includes a half day VIP leadership workshop, which is actually being held at the Porsche Experiential Center.
Fine.
Is that cool? That is like way over the top. But the whole event takes place at the Georgia World Congress Center, right across the street from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. No, it's the Atlanta Convention Center.
Oh, yeah.
It's big.
Been there.
Yeah,
it's a
big.
Really huge
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Great. So for those of you thinking immersion, this sounds like a really nice way to get everything in a couple of days and work towards that third and fourth quarter goals. Yeah.
Yeah. It is Cirque du Soleil takes over a rock show to disrupt a sales meeting. I mean, seriously, I mean, because we have no MC. There is no MC. Once this thing kicks off, it just runs. It just flat out runs. It's why we have so many people come back every year. And why people go, because the level of, it's crazy. Let's just put it that way. It is a mind blowing experience without the drugs.
There you have it. So for those of you who are driving down the road listening to this, I'll put all these links on Mark's page when we get this podcast launched.
Don't tell this to anybody, but I'll give you my secret code just between you and I. Secret code to save $100 on tickets. It's Mark 100, but don't share that with anybody. Okay.
It's
Mark 100. Yeah.
Secret
outbound,
is safe
outbound
with
conference.com.
Me.
Secret.
All right, guys, you heard it here.
Yeah.
So Mark, thank you so much for your time. It was really great to speak with you, and I will put all of your links so that people know how to get a hold of you. The Sales Hunter, Mark Hunter, author of High Profit Prospecting, co-founder of Outbound, that annual conference for sales executives, taking those sales conversations to the next level. Thank you so much for your time today, Mark. Really enjoyed having you on the show.
Thank you so much. Great selling.